The Sons of Liberty is a politically neutral organization. We believe that the Judeo-Christian ethic has provided the principles upon which this nation was founded. It is our belief that these principles provide not only the foundation and framework for American government and society, but are also essential to the maintenance of a fair and just society. All program content is based on a Christian biblical worldview.
One of you said to me recently that we shouldn't rock the boat.
Had an interesting conversation yesterday.
I want to tell you that I am a boat rocker.
I want to talk about that today. The preaching of the law. Why is it MIA from the pulpits in America? And what is the fruit of a lawless gospel? I can tell you, take a look around, friends. There you have it. Hello, friends, as well as a few enemies, scoffers, atheists, skeptics, lunatics, weirdos, assorted bad guys. Of course, all of you good guys and girls out there, welcome to the Sons of Liberty America. You have with you yours truly, Mr. Bradley Dean, and to the right of me, our pretty little princess. We know her as Stephanie Joy. Folks, we are the Christians that the atheists love to hate, the conservatives that the liberals are afraid of, the voice that the pro-murderers wish to silence, and the patriots that the globalists despise. Welcome to the show. Now, if you'd like to check us out online, you can do that. Go to Sons of Liberty Radio on Facebook, Sons of Liberty Radio on Facebook. You can also go to sonsoflibertyradio.com, sonsoflibertyradio.com. Or what you can do is you can go over to Bradley Dean on Facebook, which is double E, Bradley Dean double E. Two different websites, one fan page, one personal page. Or you can follow us on our Twitter account, which is Bradley Dean 1 on our Twitter account. And or the phone lines are accessible today. So if you'd like to contact us that way, you can let everybody hear. You have 53 countries listening to you today, my friends, and several affiliates from the East Coast to the West Coast, all the way up to Texas, down to Texas, up to Minnesota. Phone lines are accessible, 1-866-233-0747, 1-866-233-0747. Folks, we're showing you our faith by our works, deeds, not words. 1 John 3:18, my little children, let us love neither in word nor in tongue, but by deed and by truth. And to say all that, to say this, this is the radio show where we think for ourselves and make not the others the measure of our conduct. And why is that, our pretty little princess?
Well, the reason why that is because it's just a terrible place to be when your brains are in somebody else's head. We want the mind of Christ. We want the heart of God, as we always say every day here at the Sons of Liberty. Now, today we're going to talk a little bit about the Ten Commandments, and we're going to go back in time a little bit to what actually happened in schools concerning the commandments, concerning Bible reading, and concerning prayer. Now, in 1962, the Supreme Court again declared that prayer in school was unconstitutional. Again, that took place in 1962. In 1963, the Warren Court stopped schools from allowing Bible reading in classes.
Which, by the way, they never lost their right.
Right, exactly.
Just so everybody understand right. That, it is deception through and through. You never lost the right. I just want to make sure people understand that.
Right. In the Supreme Court in 1980, they declared, quote unquote, the posting the Ten Commandments in a school classroom violated the Constitution of the United States. Now, of course, you can look and say, well, listen, what is the effect of taking the prayer out of schools, of saying, you know, we can't post the Ten Commandments, of going back to Bible reading and so on? Let's take a look at some statistics.
Hang on a second. Now, what would this, well, namely tyrannical, corrupt government think if I looked at their law? If it's contrary to God's law, it is null and void, by the way, I'm thinking of the rocker dude, Stephanie. Common law. William Blackstone.
Yeah.
But in saying that, can you imagine, friends, if you said to this corrupt administration, well, we're not going to abide by that law, which, by the way, if it's unconstitutional, it's null and void. It's not applicable.
Mm-hmm.
But can you imagine me going back and saying, no, you know, we're not to listen to your law. Well, that's what God commands his church to do, because God nowhere commanded his church to do anything contrary to his moral government. But that's what this black-robed tyrant and tyrants that call themselves the Supreme Court today, they're actually ruling in favor of that which contradicts God's law, which in fact contradicts their oath, which they swore that they would uphold. Therefore, what the American people need to do is realize that what they are doing is unconstitutional, again, unlawful, therefore null and void. But it's interesting that they don't want you to obey God's law, these tyrants, but they want you to obey their policy. Now, friends, we need to get this right, because we see back in 1962, as Stephanie is laying to your candor right now, the fact that the Supreme Court usurped God's moral law. They broke their oath. They said no longer is it a permissible objective to obey God and his law. Well, then let's take down all the stop signs. Let's take down all the speed limit signs. Folks, you would right there stop me and say, Bradley, that's tyrannical. That's anarchy. That's antinomianism. Well, that's right. But this is what the professed church in America allowed. 97% of America stood down when the Supreme Court usurped their authority. They are out of their scope of authority, friends. They are out of their scope of power. They have no jurisdiction here. We're talking about moral law. And when we go back to William Blackstone, John Locke, Charles D. Montesquieu, we can clearly see that we are based on common law. Again, we've talked about that a million times, but friends, going back to the commonsensical of what Stephanie is saying right now, it's not a permissible objective to study or venerate God's moral law. Then America wonders why kids walk into schools and kill. Well, no longer, because America has allowed the Supreme Court to usurp 97% of we the people. In case in point, it doesn't matter if it was 99.9% of the people, they violated God's moral law. So therefore, it is unconstitutional, unlawful. Again, null and void. 97% of the American people in 1962 said, no, leave God's moral law where it is. The Supreme Court committed an oligarchy where few rule over many and said, no, we're going to vote in favor of the 3%. Baloney. There wasn't 3% of the American people that said, let's get, you know, let's rid ourselves of God's moral law. No, that's what they claimed. Must have been some stat that was contrived by, you know, the state-run media back in the day. I don't know. But America allowed them, and the church followed in close pursuit and said, we don't need God's moral law. If they would know the word in the first place, friends, that's where they can notice through history that that's where mankind gets in trouble every single time, is when he departs wickedly from his God. But again, America sat down when they should have stood up, when the Supreme Court committed an oligarchy that is unlawful, friends. They don't have the authority to do that, but as long as the people are okay with it, well, I guess America can go ahead and deal with man's 10,000 policies rather than God's 10 commandments. And here we have the fruit of it. How many years later? 50, 60 years later?
Yeah.
And we wonder why we're at today. But in saying that, we just simply have to get back to what God commanded. And keep in mind, church, they're not suggestions, patriots. They're not suggestions. They're commandments.
Absolutely. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the prayer that we used to pray, and we're going to go through some of those statistics to see the actual decline of America since we decided to, that we knew better than the Lord, not us, but because, as you're talking about, the Supreme Court.
How's that working out for America?
Exactly.
And I'm going to talk about a conversation I had yesterday as well, talking about the law as a schoolmaster to bring men unto Christ. What happens if there's no more law? Well, there's no more schoolmaster, then there's no longer any repentance, right? Why should they have to repent if they didn't violate a law, right? No judgment. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. Have you ever wondered why farmers can keep their livestock lean and healthy just by feeding them minerals in a nutrient-dense diet? Before market, they cut off their minerals, leaving them to crave high-calorie grains to fatten them up. So if weight control is this easy, why does the medical system prescribe invasive surgical gastric bypass for humans? The truth be told, according to research, you can avoid over 900 different diseases just by getting 90 essential nutrients daily. Check us out on the web at sonsoflibertyteam.com and order your healthy start pack and get your 90 for life. Or dial 855-301-TEAM. I said essential, not optional, and every day. Easy. 90 for life on the web at sonsoflibertyteam.com or call 855-301-TEAM. That's 855-301-TEAM. 301-TEAM at sonsoflibertyteam.com.
Imagine if you had a secret code for making money. A code buried deep within biblical text. a code that certain investment titans have quietly exploited to amass billions. And what if this code could be used by you today to unlock vast amounts of wealth safely and ethically? Investment expert and former pastor Sean Hyman says there is such a code. He calls it the Biblical Money Code. Sean credits this code for helping him go from making a mere $15,000 a year to now giving away up to $50,000 a year. And today you have a chance to tap into this life-changing code by visiting the website moneycode23.com. That's moneycode, the number 23.com. At moneycode23.com, you will find a free video that describes how you could use this biblical code in your own life to get out of debt and invest for profits. Visit moneycode23.com for free today. That's moneycode23.com.
Ben Franklin was right when defining diplomacy. It is seduction in another guise. So friends, I have to cut to the chase by bringing the hammer down and bring about the answers in which liberty is established.
SonsOfLibertyRadio.com.
That's why people listen to the show. Politics and religion are married, regardless if you like it or not. If that politician is not submitted to God, who does he or she work for?
SonsOfLibertyRadio.com.
And if what I were telling you were not true, then what are you complaining about?
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Welcome back to the Sons of Liberty. Listen carefully, friends, and I'm going to give it back over to our pretty little princess in just a second here. Again, if you'd like to interject your thoughts, interpose at any time, friends, 1-866-233-0747, 1-866-233-0747. Listen to what Martin Luther, the great reformer, said back in the 1500s. Got to go back to the Puritan preachers as well, friends, and that's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to go back to the old past, and then I'm going to give it back over to Steph. Satan, the god of all dissension, stirreth up daily new sects. And last of all, which of all other I should never have foreseen or once suspected, he has raised up a sect as such as teach that men should not be terrified by the law, but gently exhorted by the preaching of the grace of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And isn't it interesting that when you look in Scripture, people don't realize, namely the Gentiles, non-Jews, in America here, friends, they don't realize that in Romans 15:8 that Jesus Christ was a preacher of the law to them that were broken by the law. Read Romans 3. If you don't have an understanding of the law, then how do you know what sin is? If you don't know what sin is, then why would you repent? If you didn't repent, then how is it that you've came to Christ? Isaiah 66:2, Psalm 51:17, Titus 3. Common sense. You don't go to a doctor until you first know your ailment, right, friends? Someone has to spell out your disease for you. They have to show you the disease before you go to the doctor to get the remedy, right? That's why Jesus Christ is called the Savior of the world. And in Matthew 1:21, he came to save his people from their sin. I ask the commoner in the professed church in America today to define sin for me. They cannot even tell me what sin is. How is it that they call them Christians, themselves Christians, friends? When I do tea parties, churches, radio, whatever the case might be, new audiences, when I speak to them, I ask them the question, how many in this room know God's moral law, can at least name three of his Ten Commandments, Exodus 20? Without fail, if I'm lucky, I'll see one or two hands go up in a room. And yet they love God so much, they don't even know his law, his government.
Yeah, I thought Jesus
And yet it
said,
was David that said, oh, how love I thy law. It's my meditation all the day long. And look at Paul. He magnified the law through faith, Romans 3.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. How can you claim that you love him if you don't even know what his commandments are to keep them?
And then he said, on the other hand, he that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him.
That's
but
right.
They call themselves Christians. And then what these people want to do is they want to go and gently exhort people by the preaching of Jesus Christ and the grace.
Build friendships.
A false grace. Might I add.
That's right. Now, let's go back to the prayer that we used to say in public schools. Almighty God, we acknowledge our dependence upon thee, and we beg thy blessings upon us, our parents, our teachers, and our country. That sounds great to me. Now, before 1962, 1963, the courts used biblical guidelines. However, in 1962, the courts now changed their policy and said that Christian principles caused psychological damage. Now let's see how much
just
damage.
Just think about that. That's scary.
Yes, very yeah. much so. Yep. Let's take a look at how much damage has been caused in America to our young people and across the boards since we've removed these principles from public schools. Now, before I do that, I want to tell you something that George Washington said. The removal of Christian principles from education had an effect that was predicted by George Washington in his farewell address. He said this: let us with caution indulge the supposition that morality can be maintained without religion. Whatever may be conceded to the influence of refined education on minds, reason and experience both forbid us to expect that national morality can prevail in exclusion of religious principle. Washington warned that to lose religious principles would be to lose national morality. Now, was he right?
Yes.
Let's go through some of these statistics. Birth rates for unwed girls ages 15 to 19 increased after 1962, up 553% for 10 to 14 age group.
Okay, now let's go back to these mental illnesses in which they're talking about mental derangement.
Psychological damage.
Psychological damage.
Yes.
Now, who's damaged? Because what you have is a court system today that the American people, it's idolatry is what it is, a god that is created to suit their own sin or one that looks just like themselves. But you look at a court that's okay with what Hollywood promotes. They promote the crime. They teach fornication, yet they don't teach them scripture that says that no fornicator or an adulterer shall have any inheritance into the kingdom of heaven, 1 Corinthians 6:9. So we lower the word of God out of sight and out of mind. And what we do is we let these tyrants teach our students to go get impregnated. And then they take it a step further. They side. They, in a sense, go to bed with organizations such as Planned Parenthood mm-hmm. so they can make some money killing the child, the fruit of the child, of the lesson that was taught to the child that doesn't know the difference between right and wrong for the most part. Now, can you show me where the psychological damage
the psychological,
and where it's taking place, yeah. because it's going to happen with the kid when she goes out and aborts
exactly.
her baby. This is just one example.
Yeah, the cycle in that example, that's exactly right. So we teach kids through Hollywood music, you name it, go out and fornicate, have fun, have sex before marriage. Not a big deal. So then they do that. They go out and have sex before marriage. Then they get impregnated. Then what do? They go to Planned Parenthood and they have an abortion. The psychological damage comes with all the guilt and shame and regret that they're going to live with for the rest of their lives, knowing that what they did was wrong. Because no matter what a catchphrase slogan will tell you, you know, we believe in a woman's right to choose and yada, 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 all these slogans they throw out. In your conscience, you know what's right and you know what's wrong because God gave you a conscience.
So wait a second. So that works for the bureaucracy that they're in bed with in so many words.
Yeah, because then they make money off them and
they
destroy their life.
Okay, that's exactly right. We can do the same thing with crime. So we take down thou shalt not kill. The kid goes out and kills because Hollywood has taught him. And for the most part, the American people sit and tolerate this lawlessness and this tyrannical activity coming out of this administration over the last 60 years in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens? The kid goes out and kills. Well, you have another bureaucracy called the correctional institutions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that's another moneymaker because then $64 billion a year is made. And how much money are these people getting kickbacks for to just go ahead and, well, overlook what God said? Because after all, no longer is God God. The people now accept us on the Supreme Court as being God, and what we say goes.
It's our final say, our final authority.
Wish they wish.
Exactly.
Wish
but people need to people need to stand up. And because we've neglected the law of God, keeping on going with these statistics, sexually transmitted diseases for high school students increased after 1962 up 225%. These are huge margins. Yeah. They aren't like, you know, 3% here. It's something small.
It's higher in the eighth
jump.
And ninth grade, too, by the way.
Exactly.
Because you can thank MTV for
exactly. We'll get to that, too.
Such as that.
Premarital sexual activity for pre-17-year-olds increased after 1962 up 271%.
Of course.
And now teenage ages 10 to 14. This is so young. Pregnancy has increased 553% since the removal of religion in schools.
Now, I talked to a guy who is a nationally known youth minister. And when I was talking to him on the phone, this guy gets 40 to 60,000 people to come into arenas to listen to his modern day gospel, his lawless gospel. I'd asked him the question, so, hey, I'm just curious, so why are you not using the law as a schoolmaster to bring men unto Christ? Galatians 3:24, and it says in Psalm 19:7 that the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. You know what he said? He said, I don't want to bastardize the kids. Wait a second. Are you saying that Christ bastardized those that he went to when he used the law of God? How many times did Jesus say to those that knew the law of God, Romans 3 again, unto the Jews were given the oracles of God? That's God's moral law, friends. And again, keep in mind, they were broken by that law. How many times did he say to the Pharisees and the scribes, the doctors of the law, well, what does the law say? What does the law say? And I'm going to get into more of that in just a couple minutes. Listen to what Charles Spurgeon, the Prince of Preachers, rightly said. And by the way, this is completely 100% contrary to what you're seeing from the pulpits and what's coming from the pulpits today in America. And furthermore, people that should know better, they fall in line with what is being taught. Listen to what Spurgeon said, this Puritan preacher. He said, lower the law, God's moral law, and you dim the light by which man perceives his guilt. This is a very serious lost to the sinner rather than a gain, for it lessens the likelihood of his conviction and conversion. I say you have deprived the gospel of its ablest auxiliary, its most powerful weapon, when you have set aside the law of God. You have taken it away, and you have taken away from it the schoolmaster that is to bring men unto Christ. Augustine.
Yeah.
Who preceded Charles Spurgeon said, the law detects, grace alone conquers.
Yeah, and we want
the law detects, grace conquers. Friends, where's the conquering in the professed church today? I'm curious. Can't find it. I'm looking for it. There's very far and few between that actually understand the purpose. And I'll tell you, it's not an easy gospel to preach, but it's the one that Jesus preached. And maybe that's what he meant, that those that will live righteous will be persecuted. I wonder why that is. Be right back after this break. SonsOfLibertyRadio.com.
Springtime is save big time at Herbal Healer Academy. Long-term customers know spring is the time to stock up at HerbalHealer.com. And for new customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Log on for spring specials, including our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. Choose from Herbal Healer's great variety of weight loss products like apple cider vinegar, Hoodia and Metabolic Complex, and Pro Metabolic, all on sale now. Also, the Anti-Parasite Intestinal Freedom and Warwood Plus Complex, plus Stevia Liquid Sweetener and the Super Enzymes, all on sale for spring at HerbalHealer.com. As always, we offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on now to HerbalHealer.com and click on Spring Specials to save big with our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy.
Not just an alternative to the mainstream media. We're the premier independent talk radio network. We are GCN.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy three Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Gardenersinfo.com includes detailed planting and seed saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595. That's 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595.
Memorial Day is a time of remembrance of our fallen soldiers who died for our freedom. In honor of these brave men and women, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com is offering huge discounts on several great products. AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com is veteran-owned and operated, so stop what you're doing and support a like-minded company and save a few bucks at the same time. The Memorial Day sale starts right now and ends on May 26th at midnight. Honor above all, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. That's AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com.
Henry Ford once said, a man who stops advertising to save money is like a man who stops the clock to save time. Alex Castle here, the National Account Executive at GCN. I have the ability to customize a national radio campaign based on your budget while targeting your demographic. Contact me to find out how national radio can help your business be more profitable at 877-996-4327, extension 177. That's 877-996-4327, extension 177, and help me help you bring your business to the next level.
Welcome back to the Sons of Liberty, 1-866-233-0747. The chief danger that confronts the coming century will be religion without the Holy Ghost? Well. Christianity without Christ? Well. Forgiveness without repentance? Well. Salvation without regeneration? Well. Politics without God? That's the unthinkable, friends. They're twin sisters, said James Wilson. Politics without God? Well, heaven without hell? Well, that was prophesied over 120 years ago by William Booth, the founder of Salvation Army.
Right. And I want to give people some understanding, because there are just some people out there that are just stuck on the idea that whenever you mention the law of God, oh, we're not under the law. Oh, that was the Old Testament. Let me give you some understanding here from the New Testament. Look at, wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. The law doesn't help you first and foremost. It leaves you helpless before God. It shows you your condition. When you wake up in the morning, the first thing that you do is you look in the mirror to see what you look like. You can see the spots on your face, what you need to fix during the day before you leave your house. Same thing with the law. The law shows you your true condition and the true state of your soul. How does it do this? By speaking to the conscience. So if I ask you a question,
which means with knowledge.
With knowledge, that's right. So, you know, if I say, you know, to anyone, I say, do you think you're a good person? Well, most people will say yes, because the Bible says that most everyone proclaims their own goodness. So then let's say, well, let's ask you a few questions to see if you really are a good person, okay? Have you ever told a lie before? Oh, well, of course, yeah, I've told a lie before. What does that make you? Well, it makes me human. No. More specifically, it makes you a liar. Have you ever stolen anything before? Well, you know, when I was younger, I grabbed something I shouldn't have. Okay, so what do you call someone who steals something? Well, you call them a thief. Okay, well, Jesus said, if you look upon a woman to lust after her in your heart, you've already committed adultery in your heart. So have you looked at anyone, man or woman, with lust? And people say, well, yeah. Well, according to the standards of God, you're an adulterer at heart. So we've only taken a look at three of the Ten Commandments, and you've proven yourself to being a liar, a thief, an adulterer at heart. Now, what's going to happen when you stand before God on Judgment Day? Bing, 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 bing. Lights start flashing.
Okay, hang
your
on
conscience
a second,
is
though.
Awakened.
But I was always told that Jesus came into the world to tell him that everything was okay.
No, actually, think not that I am come to destroy the law and the prophets. I am not come to destroy, Jesus said, but to fulfill
Matthew 5,
law.
Amen.
That's right, Matthew 5:17. So first of all, the gospel is called good news. But if you don't realize that you're in need of good news isn't going to be good at all. If I said, listen, I sold everything I had. I spent $1 million to give you this cure for your disease. Please take it. You'd be like, well, great. You know, I appreciate
without
the gesture.
Without giving them a knowledge
exactly.
of their disease.
That's what I'm
yes.
saying. You'd say, well, great. I appreciate that gesture, but I don't, there's nothing wrong with me.
Yeah.
But if I took you down, I set you aside and I said, listen, this doctor has evaluated you. You've got 10 clear symptoms that you're going to die very soon. It's a very rare disease. And there's no hope for you. You'd be like, oh,
without Christ.
Oh, without Christ.
The cure.
But
yeah.
then if someone said, but listen, there is a cure. It's very expensive. It's very rare. I sold everything I had to give you that cure. Here it is, yours freely. Then that would be good news to you because
for God so loved the world. Then it comes in to make sense.
It
yes.
makes sense. Yeah. Because, but if you don't think that you're sick, the cure's not going to be good news. The cure's going to seem stupid. Well, I thought that God loves me so I can do whatever I want. It's not going to make any sense.
Yeah.
But if you really realize that you're in destitute or dying need of Jesus Christ, if you're literally going to die and then someone's bringing you the
that's
cure,
right.
oh, that's good
let,
news.
Let me tell you
the power of God into salvation.
Let me tell you the fruit of that. John Wesley, the great field prophet back in England, he was right when he said this. He said to an evangelistic course that he was teaching, he told them when asked, you know, so what's going to be the response? He said, either people are going to get saved or they're going to get mad. He said, I preach 90% law, 10% grace. How much law do you hear today, friends, from the modern gospel? Let me ask you this. How much lawlessness do you see come out of the professed church today? How much lawlessness do you see come out of the professed, governments today? Government is a good institution, friends. This is not good at all. How much lawfulness do you see? No, you're complaining about lawlessness? Of course, because the church in America lowered the law. And they dim the light by which man is perceived his own guilt. No longer is there a law. Therefore, there no longer is a
need for a savior.
Thank you.
Exactly. When you go through. So biblically, the way is the law does not help you. It leaves you helpless. The Bible is the law is the schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ.
That's right.
The good news that we might be justified by faith.
Yeah.
And it's faith in Christ's merits and in Christ's blood. We trust
they that
his
are whole
merits.
Have no need of a physician.
That's
but
right.
They that are sick. He said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And he preached the law to grace every step of the way. Charles Finney said this in the 1700s again. A great awakening preacher said, forevermore, the law must prepare the way for the gospel. To overlook this is instructing souls is almost certain to result in a false hope. The indoctrination or introduction of a false standard of Christian experience and to fill the church with false converts. Time will make this plain. One more point. Was he right? Absolutely. He was right on the money because this is exactly what we are dealing with on a 24/7 basis today. And those that kick up against the law, friends, just like Charles Spurgeon again rightly said, if you want to know why they hate the law, follow them home.
That's right. And King David said, oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation both day and night. So when you look at the proper biblical way of salvation, what is it first? First, it's law, showing your sin before God. Judgment is what you deserve because you're a guilty criminal. Mercy is what Christ did for you on the cross. He stepped in and paid your fine. So he died on the cross paying your fine, and faith is the faith of the Son of God. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But why do we even reach out and see our need for a Savior? Because we see our sin. You know, and people say, well, listen, I know God's supposed to be all loving God. And so if I do these things, then, you know, I'm just all ask him to forgive me. Well, listen, if you raped someone and you stole a car and you burned down a house and you stood in front of the judge and you say, well, listen, judge, I mean, I believe you're a good judge and I just, you know, want to say I'm sorry and, you know, I hope that you'll forgive me. Listen, because that judge is good, it's good you said you're sorry, but that's not, he's not going to overlook your crimes. You still have to pay the price and the penalty for your sin. That's where Jesus paid the price and the penalty for your sin. He stepped in and took that punishment that you deserve upon himself. And that's why we can say, look at the blood of the cross. Look at the blood of Jesus Christ that washes and cleanses you from your sin. Now, I want to make this clear too. Repentance is not, okay, well, that's fine. Okay, so I broke the Ten Commandments. I need to repent. So you say a little sinner's prayer. Repentance is not simply saying a prayer and then going back to living your life the way you want to do.
It isn't?
No, it's
you
not.
You adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? You mean, so like when I'm married, because I am, if I go out and cheat on you and I come back and say I'm sorry, and then the next day I go out and do it again, and the day after I do it again and again and again, these are called altar athletes, and we see them filled right in the churches today in America.
And
they're not sorry.
And the point is, yes, if you keep on doing it again and again, you're not sorry. So repentance is not just saying a prayer. Obviously, it's what you mean from your heart. People say, well, lead them in the sinner's prayer. Dear God, I thank you that this. Listen, it doesn't really matter so much the words that you pray when you repent. God sees your heart. The Bible says, well, a man looks at the outward appearance. God looks at the heart. And so the heart is the most important thing when you're repenting. But when you repentance is about turning from your sin, a forsaking of that sin, that's what shows that your heart is truly repentance, is when you confess and forsake.
And they need to see Christ evidently set forth and crucified for the sins of the world. That's why they repent. And once we see what God did on the behalf of mankind through the cross of Jesus Christ, through the cross of Calvary, that's what brings forth godly repentance by the use of the Holy Ghost and the schoolmaster as the Holy Ghost.
Yeah, and this is interesting to note too. People always say, well, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
No, it's not.
It's a union.
Show me that in scripture.
Exactly. It's not
show me
in
that
scripture.
In scripture, friends.
Jesus said, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. When you ask Christ into your heart, he comes and abides with you. He lives inside of you. It's Christ living in you. So when you stand before God, God's not going to see you. He's going to see Christ within
Amen.
You. And because he sees Christ, and because of the virtue and merits of his perfect son who died on the cross and took your punishment upon him, then he sees Jesus within you and he can forgive you of your sins. And thus, you know, you enter into heaven because of what Christ did.
I want to give you a warning from Martin Luther back in 1537. He said this: this now is the Christian teaching and preaching, which God be praised, we know and possess. And it is not necessary at present to develop it further, but only to offer the admonition that it be maintained in Christendom with all diligence, painstakingly, friends. For Satan has attacked it hard and strong from the beginning until the present, and gladly would he completely extinguish it and tread it underfoot.
That's right. Now let's take a look at the two differences. If you say most people that try to witness, if you even are a professed Christian and you even do that, people will say, well, I'll just tell people, you know, God loves them, has a wonderful plan for their life, so on and so forth.
A lot of people in hell that God loves.
Exactly.
But they made the choice, didn't
That's
they?
That's right. It has no point of motivation upon the sinner at all. Well, great. God loves me. I appreciate that. I'm doing what I want to do in my life. I'm, you know, he loves me. He's got a wonderful plan. Great. It doesn't move them to motivation. It doesn't show them the seriousness of their state. And if we really love sinners.
No, it gives them a license to go on in the lifestyle in which they're now living, which is contrary to God in his son, Jesus Christ.
Right. And people say, well, I've got to build a friendship. No, no, no. If you really love sinners, sinners are in a house that's literally.
That's a good one, isn't
yeah,
it?
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. Sinners are in a house that's literally burning. A firefighter, when he comes to rescue someone out of a house, doesn't say, well, you know, I just don't want to build a relationship with you first. What they do is they pull you out of the fire. That's exactly what our job as Christians should be to do. And we need to make sure we do it biblically how Christ told us to do it.
Okay.
Definitely.
Stats.
Now, stats. So we're going back to kind of the Ten Commandments here. We'll go on with some of these other stats. Going back to taking out prayer out of schools. Now, we're talking about upon us.
But you know, here's the other thing. Who hates God's law?
The lawless.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yeah.
Not the righteous.
Right.
The unrighteous.
Right.
Not the lawful. the unlawful.
Exactly.
Isn't this incredible?
Yeah, of course.
So who's on God's side?
Yeah, who
those
does,
that are in Christ.
That's right. Who doesn't
put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof? Oh, yeah. But they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with its lusts and its affections. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, yea, these are sons of God. Friends, God's looking for them. Are you one of them? SonsOfLibertyRadio.com. SonsOfLibertyRadio.com. We'll be right back.
At the Sons of Liberty, we are in the trenches doing what it takes to protect our liberty. If you are already supporting our work, we cannot say thank you enough. Together, we are having a positive impact on the future of this country we all love so much. If you have not yet partnered with us financially, we ask you to consider becoming a son or daughter of liberty. Call 1-866-233-0747 or online at sonsoflibertyradio.com. Be a part of the team that brings responses like this.
This is David Getch with Patriot Update. America needs a few good men to stand for our founding principles and our Christian values. In Bradley Dean, we have found such a man. Bradley is courageous, persistent, and caring. He cares about America, and he is a disciple of Christ. Through his radio program and articles, he gives conservatives and Christians hope and a good example of how they should stand up for what they believe in.
Become a son or daughter of liberty at sonsoflibertyradio.com.
Imagine if you had a secret code for making money. A code buried deep within biblical text. A code that certain investment titans have quietly exploited to amass billions. And what if this code could be used by you today to unlock vast amounts of wealth safely and ethically? Investment expert and former pastor Sean Hyman says there is such a code. He calls it the Biblical Money Code. Sean credits this code for helping him go from making a mere $15,000 a year to now giving away up to $50,000 a year. And today you have a chance to tap into this life-changing code by visiting the website moneycode23.com. That's moneycode, the number 23.com. At moneycode23.com, you will find a free video that describes how you could use this biblical code in your own life to get out of debt and invest for profits. Visit moneycode23.com for free today. That's moneycode23.com.
So my elementary school-aged child is begging me for a cell phone.
Please, Mom, please. All the kids have them.
But I've seen the research, and it makes sense to me that any mobile device that operates using electromagnetic frequencies that close to me or my child's head needs to be blocked.
Harmful wireless radiation is real. Protect yourself and your loved ones with Block It Pocket. Call 888-315-9618. Free shipping to the lower 48. BlockItPocket.com. Enhancing health and privacy.
Harvest Right is the world's first in-home freeze dryer. Freeze dry your own fruits, vegetables, meats, and full meals. With Harvest Right, you can prepare foods that last 25 years, preserving its freshness, nutrition, color, and taste. All your food can be freeze-dried. So don't throw away your leftovers. Freeze-dry them with this incredible in-home money-saving freeze dryer. Go to HarvestRight.com to see how the Harvest Right freeze dryer works. That's HarvestRight.com.
The trouble with people who are not seeking for a savior and for salvation is that they don't understand the nature of sin, 1 John 3:4. It is the peculiar function of the law to bring such an understanding to man's mind and conscience. That is why great preachers 300 years ago in the time of the Puritans and 200 years ago in the time of Whitfield and others always engaged in what they have called preliminary work, law work.
Mm-hmm.
John Newton, the one that wrote Amazing Grace, understood law. He said, ignorance of the nature and design of the law is at the bottom of most religious mistakes. Let me say it this way. The law condemns, the gospel justifies them that believe. And believe is a verb. The law condemns, the gospel justifies to them that believe. The law says do this and live. Grace says live and do this. Okay.
Okay, now going back to the Ten Commandments, when you're talking about some statistics here, according to USA Today poll, this is from the Family Research Council, 60% of Americans cannot name five of the Ten Commandments.
They can't even name three.
And I think that that's pretty high. But in fact, it's amazing what Americans do know by comparison. Now, we've talked a little bit about how 25% of Americans can name all seven ingredients of the McDonald's Big Mac. 35% of Americans can recall all six kids from the Brady Bunch.
Yep.
74% of Americans can name all three Stooges, you know, when you look at the three Stooges. But the sad news is that only 14%, that's a failing grade big time, can accurately name all 10 commandments.
Yeah, I've yet to meet one.
Yeah, I mean myself as well. Yet 78% of Americans are in favor of public displays of the commandments. How ironic. Americans affirm the Ten Commandments, but cannot name them.
No, and nor do they live by them.
Nor do they live by them. That's correct. Now,
and of course, if they lived by them, the professor today from the pulpit would say, oh, that's legalistic, as if to say, because he obeys God because of the cross of Jesus Christ and what Christ did for him on the cross, that must be legalistic. No, it's called love, my friend. You obey those that you love. It's not difficult at all.
That's right. And, you know, ceremonial law is different than moral law.
That's right.
You got to make that distinction. Ceremonial law is, you know, the washing of the pots and the pans and the sacrificing of lambs.
That is very important for people to understand because, again, even when you get into that, that's another facet of law that people need to understand, that Jesus Christ has done away with the ceremonial law.
Right.
But you can still see it in the jot and tittle of who Christ is in his life.
Right.
So it's not like it's been done away and abolished or abrogated. No, it's not been at all. It's been lived out.
That's right. Exactly. So no longer did they have to sacrifice the literal lamb, the animal. Jesus Christ was the lamb sacrificed for our sins. So we don't need to do that anymore because Jesus was offered for the sins of the world.
But what I'm talking about with the ceremonial law, we work out our own salvation with fear and trembling before a just and a holy God.
Yep.
There's a reason in the Old Testament he showed us all of that. Because he was very specific.
Giving understanding.
In every sense of the word. That's right. And then when you read it out in the living, well, the life of Jesus Christ incarnate, you can begin to understand, oh, wait a second. Whoa, I've never even seen it like that before. The Holy Ghost starts dropping revelation on you, and it's like you're illuminated to understand what the word meant. See, without the Holy Ghost, nothing makes sense. It's a dead letter. But with the Holy Ghost, it's a spirit. It's a living letter. It's the newness of the letter. All things old have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We're written epistles for all men to read. And then when you see in the book of Corinthians, he said that no longer, we don't want to partake with the oldness of the letter. We want to partake with the newness of the spirit. And that's exactly where we are, written epistles for all men to read.
And you know, how foolish, even common sense wise, to think that Christ would have done away with the law. Can you picture Christ saying, listen, you know, that one that says that you shall have no other gods before me, just do away with that.
Yeah, forget
you know,
about
the
that.
The one that says, don't lie. And steal, just, you know, we're done away with that.
Well,
it's all new.
If you think about that, again, there's none other name under heaven whereby men might be saved. His name is Jesus Christ. He is God incarnate. And that's the God that Jesus, Jesus is actually the fulfillment of the Godhead in every sense of the word. But when people begin to take a look at who he was in the flesh incarnate, nowhere can you see him abrogate. Nowhere can you see Christ violate in any sense of the word God's moral law. He fulfilled every jot and tittle of it.
That reminds me of the...
One more point, too, is you were just talking about, you were alluding to this. You know, the law says the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Okay, and it also says, for example, if we go back to the Old Testament, it says, thou shalt not commit adultery. Jesus in grace said, even if you look at a man or a woman, I'm adding man,
right,
to lust after them, you've already committed adultery with them in your heart. He said in the Old Testament, thou shalt not steal, right? Number 8, God's moral law, Exodus 20.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jesus said, if your right hand offends thee, cut it off. So I'm trying to figure out where people are lowering when in fact it's magnified.
And when you look at even the rich young ruler, when he came, he said, good master, what can I do to be saved? He said, well, you know the commandments.
That's right. Can I go there?
Yeah.
I'm glad you're already one step ahead of me. Mark 10 said this. I want to show you Christ in action here. And when is gone forth in the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Jesus said unto him, why do you call me good? There's none good but one, that is God. Jesus said right away, you know the commandments. Don't commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and thy mother. And he answered and said unto the master, he's trying to justify himself, this rich young ruler, all these have I observed from my youth. Now look at how the prophet Christ goes right to the heart. Then Jesus, looking upon him whom he loved.
Not hated.
Not hated. Yep. And said unto him, one thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have, give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven. Come take up the cross and follow me. The rich young ruler who was trying to justify himself was sad at the saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. I didn't see Jesus lower the law.
No.
He put the law in question to the people that came to him before they could receive who he was.
Right, and he didn't say, oh, good job. You've kept those from your youth. Great. You
come
should
on
be
over here.
Good
Let's have
go.
A pizza party
exactly.
and put some merits on
no,
you.
No, yeah,
huh?
He didn't say that because he knew this one thing you lack. He knew what his heart was attached to. He knew that his money was his God. And if it wasn't so, why did the rich young ruler go away sad? Because he knew he was attached to that before he was attached to anything else. His money was his God.
Over and over, same thing with Paul. Paul was sent to the Gentiles. He taught them the law so they could understand why they had a need for Christ. Jesus continuously used the law over and over and over again. It began because he was a preacher of the circumcision, Romans 15:8. America has it completely backwards. But you know what's interesting? You know who loves this radio show? You know who loves this long-haired rocker and his preaching? Who?
The older folks.
Why? Because they said it was common preaching all the way up until the 60s.
That's right. Exactly. The older folks, they definitely know and they understand because that's what they had when they were growing up.
How much time?
Now, going back to the stats of taking out prayer in schools and so on and so forth, let's look at, we kind of talked a little bit about what happened with our younger people and the statistics on, you know, sexually transmitted diseases and so on. Now, divorce was allowed for very few reasons before 1962 and in fact was declining. Before 1962, a court could refer to the Bible to support its decision regarding divorce. Before 1962, a court referred to God's law as the final authority in an issue.
And case in point, the court doesn't have any other lawful jurisdiction outside of the Bible. Hello?
Of course not.
They exist because of God's moral law.
That's the final authority.
Why are people sent to prison for killing if that wasn't the case?
Exactly.
For lying, for perjury, for theft.
Yeah, I like
for
it when
adult,
you talk to your atheist friend. You said, well, listen, you know, I'm an atheist. That's great. Well, is it wrong to steal? Well, yeah. Who told you that? Is it wrong to lie? The atheist will say, well, yeah. Well, who told you that?
That's right.
It was God that told you that.
Yep.
You have such a strong, you're fighting
Mr.
so hard.
Mr. Atheist, are you there anymore?
Exactly.
Mr. Atheist, mm-hmm. What happened?
And when you look at it from that perspective, listen, if you're fighting so hard and you hate so much a God that doesn't exist, why are you exuberating yourself so much in your absolute hatred towards a being if he's not even real? I mean, why spend all your time hating him? Why spend all your time fighting something if it doesn't exist?
Because the law cuts into the core of evil. It reveals the seed of malady and informs us the leprosy that lies deep within, and they don't want to see it for what it is.
Exactly.
Charles Spurgeon.
That's right. Now, going back to these statistics, the divorce rates increased after 1962, up 117%. America is number one in the world divorce rate, in the divorce rate, which is so sad. We claim to be the light of the
shameful.
World. It is.
Yeah.
Every statistic related to the morality decline of the family skyrocketed since 1962. Single parent families increased 140%. Unmarried couples increased after 1962.
Like this is by design.
Exactly. 500.
So how do you destroy? You do away with the law.
Exactly.
Yes.
Because the law brings liberty. People think, oh, it's just rules. I don't want to live by rules. Listen, that rule is there to bring you liberty when you drive down the highway.
No. Here, just say it this way. Just wait until your kids say that in your household.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And of course, when you drive down the highway, if you keep the speed limit, you have perfect liberty and freedom. You don't have to, is a police officer coming?
Set
you ever
the
notice
cruise
that?
Control of grace.
That's right. You ever notice people that the police officer comes, everyone slows down, then the police officer exits off.
Moreover, the law enters that the offense might abound, but where sin abounds, grace does much more abound.
That's right. Now, unmarried couples increased after 1962, up 536%.
You're such a great, I love your exposition. I love the way that you expound.
Well, I'm trying
things.
To get through these few statistics before we get to the
minute.
End of the show, so I'm
okay.
trying to go through it quick. All the above categories remained stable for years prior to 1962, but after 1962, they all skyrocketed because we did away with what we thought was best for us without the law of God.
Point proven, folks. Maybe we'll talk about this again tomorrow. 1-866-233-0747. 1 John 3:18. Talking 23. See ya.